Thank you for this evening. I thank you for everybody that's here. I just pray that you use this time and this message to honor and glorify you. Please give me the words to speak that you want us to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I don't know about everybody else, but I've been discouraged, especially in probably the last 5-6 years, of the direction that this country is going, that our society is going. We seem to be drifting away from Christian values and Christian principles that the country is founded on. And it's just really been a discouragement. And then this last summer, I felt a glimmer of hope. The Supreme Court, I can't remember the exact date, they had a leak beforehand, but they outlawed or overturned Roe v. Wade. That was just a huge blessing. I don't know, many of you may know this, but I'm very thankful for pro-life movements. My wife and her brother are both adopted, and just what a blessing that is that their natural mothers chose to have them and put them up for adoption rather than kill them. So that was just a huge uplift for me. And then November elections came around, and Proposal 3 was probably one of the most evil proposals that I've ever seen. And I thought, there is absolutely no way this is going to pass. And lo and behold, everybody knows that it passed in our state. And it took our state's laws and made them worse than they were before. Now it's pretty much legal to abort right when you, just as you're having birth. And I just couldn't understand why God would allow that to happen. And I knew we were going to be going through the Ten Commandments, so I looked and I said, thou shalt not murder. I think I need to look at that, and that's why I volunteered to speak on this. So that's how and why I'm up here. Because, you know, I'm out of my comfort zone a little bit for this, but it's okay. So let's look at this. Why, or what is murder? When is it justified, and when is it not justified? So what is murder? Murder is taking the life in an unjustified manner. Sounds pretty simple, and it seems like a very easy commandment to obey, doesn't it? I mean, how many of us in here have committed murder? I'm hoping that nobody's hand goes up. but let's consider a couple of different verses here. Let's look at Matthew 5, 21 and 22. Have you heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment? But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to counsel. And whoever says, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. And then 1 John 3:15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Wow. Makes it a little harder to obey that commandment, doesn't it? We really need to be in prayer against our thoughts. I mean, how many times, I know I as a kid, got mad at my little sister. I'm going to kill you, you know. How many times have people said that, or how many times have you said that? You really need to guard against your thoughts, just even in that manner, because that's a sin. So, we need to be in prayer for that. But Then, so let's take a look the sanctity of life. Again, I've brought up abortion, and Psalms 139, 13 through 16 was already read. For you formed me in my inner parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book we were written, every one of them, the days were formed for me, as yet there was none of them. That is a very clear verse stating there is no cause or legal justification for abortion. Abortion is murder. No two ways about it. It's just life is so precious. And like I say, I wouldn't have my family if it wasn't for somebody choosing to let adoption take place instead of abortion. So let's look at some harder issues. Euthanasia and suicide. This one's a tough one to consider. I've had loved ones that have been very sick. And I had my grandmother on my mom's side. She had, ever since I was a kid, she had had a stroke when I was about 5 years old. She was paralyzed on the left side. And then by the time I turned 12, she had a massive stroke, and it paralyzed her from the neck down, and she could no longer speak. And I remember, even as a 12-year-old, the conversation, she had to be put in a nursing home, and the conversation between my grandfather and my mom and her siblings, what do we do? What, you know, making her lay there and suffer, is there anything that we should be doing? And thankfully, they chose to let her receive the medication and care that she needed to, because Ecclesiastes 7:14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, and in the day of adversity, consider. God has made the one who is well as the other, so that you may not find out anything that will be there after him. That just says God's plan. God has a plan for you, and he is in control. He knows the day that he will take you. I had the same thing happen with my sister. She had an autoimmune disease of the liver, and she got to the point of kidney failure. And it's just hard to watch a loved one go through that type of situation. But God knew the plan, and God took her peacefully and quickly, so we didn't have to make that decision. But I think of even Dick and Fran Paxson as an example of just a godly couple. Fran has had the terminal cancer for a while, but we just don't know how many people have they touched and brought to Christ with their example that they're giving us in a godly manner of how to handle that situation. I just think that's a blessing, and that's what we have to remember, that God has the plan for us to go through life, and part of it might be suffering. So I just find that amazing. So what isn't murder? What isn't murder is killing of animals and insects. Genesis 9:3 says, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I give you the green plants, I give you everything. Well, this is one I'm particularly thankful for. As far as animals, you know, the vegetables we can leave. So I'm thankful for that. I think the most vegetables should be just left for the rabbits, but enough said about that. Let's look at capital punishment. Is capital punishment allowed? Genesis 9:6. Whoever sheds the blood of man by man, his blood should be shed for God. Made him. I can't even read my writing. I'm sorry. Yes. You got it. Are you? I'm sorry.
Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image.
Yes, okay. So God gives us the command that a capital punishment is okay. But what about war? Deuteronomy 20 gives an entire chapter of how to plan for war. Enemies, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you in going into battle. So at times, we as Christians are called to do battle for him. And at that time, war is justified. I'm sure it's not a fun thing, and I'm glad I've never had to personally do it, but we should all be ready when the time comes and if the time comes. So let's look at accidents. What about accidents? So accidents, let's look at Numbers 35, 22 through 25. But if he is pushed, he is suddenly without enmity, or hurled anything on him without lying in wait, or use a stone that could cause death, and while seeing him, dropped it on him so that he died. Though he was not an enemy, and he did not seek his harm. Then the congregation shall judge between the manslayer and the avenger of blood in accordance with these rules. And the congregation shall rescue the manslayer from the hand of the avenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to this city of refuge to which he had fled. He shall live in it until the death of the high priest who anointed with holy oil. But if the manslayer shall at any time go. So accidents are a way that God uses or calls people to him. There's times that God uses those accidents to further his kingdom. All the time he uses those accidents to further his kingdom. Sometimes it's just hard for us to see that. I'll never forget a statement that was said by a member of this congregation to me when their daughter passed. He said, I know that it was my time, it was time for my daughter to go. I just didn't know that that's how he was going to do it. But I accept that that's God's plan. And God has used that death and that family's way of dealing with that to bring so many people to him. It's just amazing. And I just, that's always been a strong point, a turning point for me in my faith, is seeing how Christians like that deal with adversity and accidents that you just can't foresee. So what if you have killed? Does God forgive? I've got good news. He does. Let's look at three examples. Moses killed an Egyptian and hid the evidence in Exodus 2, verses 11, 14, and yet God still used him to set his people free. Another example is David kills Uriah He was also an adulterer. And in 2 Samuel 11, which I'm not going to read because I didn't want to have to pronounce those names again. but he sent him into battle and withdrew the troops so that Uriah would be killed. But later, God calls David a man after his own heart. And then even Paul approved the killing of Stephen, but Jesus calls Paul to follow him. And look at how he used Paul later in life. So to me, that shows that God can forgive. He does forgive. We just have to accept that he sent Jesus here to die for us and take away our sins. So you're asking now, did I come to a conclusion as to why God allowed Proposal 3 to pass? Guess what? I didn't. But I did read the end of the book, and we still win. God is in control. Even though we can't understand why you would let a proposal like that pass, he still has a plan, and he's using that for his glory in some way, in some fashion. Yes, we still need to fight against abortion, fight for our Christian values in this country. We still need to be obedient to God and work for his glory and spread his gospel. But he is a loving God, and he is in control. And that's the peace that I got from going through this and looking at this commandment. We just know that God is in control and he loves us all. So just, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, I urge you to take the step of faith and do that. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for your word. And I thank you that you are such a loving and kind, caring God. I just pray for anybody here that doesn't know you, to help bring them to that step of faith and accept you as their Lord and Savior. Just keep us safe tonight as we go home and throughout the week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Do you have that other mic?
They have the mic. May I have the mic?
Won't you stand as we close?